the tabletop. Take away
game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop. Take away.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. I'm Trevor Muller-Hagel.
I'm Charlie McCarron.
And Ananda's still not here. Hey, it's Charlie and me!
Yeah.
So for this series, we're just doing a kind of introduction to the three of us who have been doing this podcast now for quite a few episodes. I'm not entirely sure where we're at, but we're getting close to that triple digit, which is really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're just getting to know kind of each other and about our pasts and about how we kind of came into game design in general. So now I'll be interviewing Charlie. If you didn't catch the last episode, Charlie interviewed me. So go ahead and listen back to that one if you want to find out more about me and Design Days and all those shenanigans. But now let's talk about Charlie. Charlie, you are from the Twin Cities.
I am, yeah. Stillwater, Minnesota.
Stillwater, okay.
Not far from my current city of St. Paul, the capital of Minnesota.
Excellent. And your degree is, of course, in game design, of course, right?
No.
Right? Oh, wow. Okay.
You would think so based on how much I do it these days, but no game classes in my background.
Yeah.
I studied music composition.
Music composition. So that would make you a music composer.
Yes, I am. And the theme song you probably have in your head all the time, that was one of my songs. And I write a lot
It is a smash hit. We get a lot of comments on how great that song is, which, you know, not to toot Charlie's horn.
Well, sometimes you just have a good earworm.
Yep.
Yeah, actually, we could edit in to this episode maybe the original, because I recorded us coming up with it kind of on the air.
Oh,
with
did
me
you?
And guitar. I'm going to edit that in to the
Oh,
so
perfect.
Listen to the end of the episode and you'll hear that.
You're the OG version.
Yep. I was going to sneak it into some episodes. So I guess this one will be
We'll sneak it in while telling you about it.
Yeah.
It'll be great. great. So tell me a little bit about like how you started with game design.
Yeah, well, actually, much like you, I wanted to make video games when I was real little.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, I'd be coming up with games on paper, drawing out, like, Sonic-type levels.
Oh, cool,
and
yeah.
What else? Yeah, I ended up getting into making calculator games back in the day with graphing calculators.
You can
code in very basic, I think it was called basic language. And I was doing like pixel by pixel art on there.
Wow.
And those games were great until the batteries came out and then it reset your whole calculator.
Brutal.
So yeah, that was like junior high. And I was in the meantime, like into Star Wars, the card game.
Oh, sure.
Collectible card game.
Mm-hmm.
And
not the new one that just came out like a couple months ago, but the old one.
Yeah, the Decipher
Star
Wars game. One of the most complicated games. And somehow, like, as a kid, I just read through this giant rule book, and every card has so much text on it. It's insane. But that was like pre-YouTube.
Right.
So you couldn't look up, like, how do you play this game?
Yeah.
Nope. Back in the day, we just had to
figure it out.
Get really intensely into these games.
And then get the rules wrong a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yep. So, yeah, zooming ahead, years later, I guess this was after college by several years, I started thinking about, like, ooh, I could actually get back into, like, making games, but maybe just board games.
Yeah.
Because, it's
low
much
barrier
easier
to
than,
entry. Yeah.
Coding video games.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, I guess it was probably one of my first things I got to do was work on a Star Wars collectible card game, Star Wars Destiny at Fantasy Flight.
Sure.
So I interned there. I applied for an internship with very little almost no background in game design.
Yep.
But that was, I guess, back in the day, you could just get those kind of internships.
Oh, free labor? Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Yeah, come come make $0 on this very profitable game. But that was really cool. I really liked working with Lucas Litzinger, who designed that game, Star Wars Destiny. He developed Netrunner.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. Cool guy to work with. Learned a lot. And then, yeah, I don't know. Since then, I've been doing a lot of freelance designing.
Yeah, and developing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah, developing in the past few years, I've been working for Floodgate Games here locally. Yeah, just kind of emailed myself into a job. I talked with Ben, the owner of Floodgate, at Protospiels.
Sure.
You know, and played one of the games, Hedge Mage, and was like, hey, I love this game. I think I'd love to help develop it a little more.
Yeah.
Like, sure, let's bring you in. And so sometimes you can just email yourself into a job.
But it helps if you've met them first.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to help you develop this line of games that you've had for years. Who are you? We don't
yeah,
even know
exactly.
Who you are. Great. What's been your favorite project that you've worked on then so far?
For Floodgate?
For other people.
For other people?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
And then that's a tough question probably,
that's
too.
Tough because yeah. I like them for different reasons.
Yeah.
I think Skyrockets, which I talked about on this show, was a highlight because just the sheer amount of like
all the
brainstorms and for one testing that real-time game was so quick.
I'm
sure I talked about in that episode.
Yeah,
like, you know, the game is only going to be 5 minutes. Okay, cool, we can test like 10 different versions in one night.
Yep. And that was the first game you brought to Design Days too, I believe.
I think
one of the first ones.
Yeah
That was back at Game Center.
Yep.
Man. And now it's out there in the world.
And now it's out there. I just got the German version, too. Which I have very little German knowledge. So, but still kind of cool to see some games like come out in different languages.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you currently working on that you're really excited about?
Ooh, well... game wise, a few games that I can't talk about yet. No, I've gotten pretty lucky. I've spent a lot of time building up contacts and have 6 published games out right now.
That's awesome.
And I have like, I was counting maybe like 10 projects in the works with publishers.
Wow.
But that is, you know, everything's a little bit on hold right now, sadly, because of our current tariff situation. Hopefully, by the time you hear this, it won't even be a problem.
Yeah, it'll probably still be a problem. Sorry, everyone.
Trevor, don't say it. But, yeah, little piece of history there for people who listen to this in the future.
Here's your history lesson.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm still excited about all these projects. We'll make them happen.
Yeah.
If nothing else, I'll just make decks of cards here in Minnesota and print them at Art of Forge.
There you go.
Because, like, there are options locally. And...
There are for some types of games that you can get around if you don't have to import from China specifically. Mm-hmm. Then you have a lot more options.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's, you know, quite a few different things that people have used over the years. And I've even heard of people using, like, paper companies, local paper companies to print their cards, which...
Yeah.
Is interesting. They obviously charge a bit more.
Yeah.
So you lose a little bit of margin there, but are you losing as much as tariffs? Good question.
I don't know.
But that's the thing, too. Is how unique are the components? If it's just cards, if it's just a rule book, that's not too bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and lately I've been making a lot of card games, it seems.
Sure.
It's funny because I started out and I, for some reason, had the... feeling like card games were the hardest things to design.
Well, because you're thinking like Netrunner and like these
right.
intense
big
ones.
Card games.
And
yeah.
Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, these games I grew up with that have so much text and rules, yeah. I am really have like kind of an allergy to that now. Like, I don't know. I just love games where you don't have to read anything.
Let's not even have a word on this card. Let's have a shape.
Yeah.
And that's all you need.
I kind of like those games.
Well, like on a moon and there will be a skyline. We'll call it like Lunar Skyline.
Oh. Yeah, Lunar Skyline. Yep. That's one that, well, you're talking about games that got signed at Design Days.
Yeah.
This community event that Trevor has started up, and that is one that got signed basically because the publishers came from, they're visiting from San Francisco,
yeah.
Dead Alive Games, and they just happened to,
they're at Design Days and
trick taking games, and I called my game Lunar Skyline just kind of on a whim.
Sure.
It was a suggestion from my girlfriend Celeste.
Good work.
Yeah, and they have a game called Lunar Rush. And so, like, the combination of the title,
yep,
this theme of sending things to the moon, and then it's a trick-taking game. Sometimes, like, the planets align.
Yeah.
And I've learned that's a takeaway for this episode.
Oh, there we go.
Naming your game is like one of the biggest factors in whether publishers will sign your game.
Wow.
I don't know.
Fascinating.
Like sometimes I think publishers just really like a good pun or something.
A hook that they don't have to think of.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and you're thinking about the publisher's perspective, and you know, we have all of these online communities and things, and they're like, all have all this advice for you. And like, oh, you know, if the publisher signs it, you know, they'll probably retheme it, change the name, change mm-hmm. everything. Like, and for small publishers, they don't want to do nearly all that work. If you have a good hook, you have a good idea, they'll maybe help you finish the art or mm-hmm. do the art. But like, if you have everything else locked in and like, oh, that sounds good, that feels good, I don't want to change anything, then that's less work for them to do.
Right.
And that's great.
Like, and yeah. And I've even like seen the opposite happen where a designer has a really great name, but the yeah. game is not great. And the publisher's like, I was thinking about buying that name just from you, and yeah.
Can I buy the name and then just not do any of the game mechanics you did?
Yeah. So, yeah. Actually, another example that I made a word game called Alphabet Sloop originally.
Yes.
It was about sending pirates out to islands, and then signed it with Pops and Bijou mm-hmm. Games. And they liked it. They liked the pun.
Yeah.
But they're like, well, we only do like Americana style games.
Right.
And so we're not going to have pirates. So what if we call it Alphabet Stoop? That is about delivering packages to
your stoop.
Doorsteps. Stoops. It's like, okay. That's kind of a brilliant way to keep the pun in
keep,
there.
Keep the spirit and yeah. change it to your marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Great. So tell me a little bit more about your other things that you've had going on lately, because I know we mentioned it briefly in the last episode, but outside of game design, you just finished up Film Score Fest.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a pretty epic music project that I've been doing for 10 years now.
Wow. Okay.
This is the 9th fest, but we started it in 2014. And
okay.
It was the whole concept is, what if we had a live orchestra at a screening of local films.
Yeah.
And so the idea is we get filmmakers to sign up, composers to sign up, and then we match them up randomly to make a short film.
Yeah.
And then the orchestra plays the scores live. And it's kind of blows people away when like
actual people playing the thing that
yeah.
was like, it's a 5-minute short with a live orchestra. Like,
yeah.
That's awesome.
And there's something really charming, I think, about like that. Now, it doesn't have to be a high quality film to be
right
entered in. Like, people sometimes just have a video of their cat going around in the backyard. And it's like, what would a composer do with this
right.
idea?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I've done a lot of these challenges over the years, like both participating and hosting.
Sure.
And it's such a good thing. I think another takeaway from my creative life, I think, is like, do challenge, give yourself deadlines, or like sign up for challenges, like design challenges, because it's so much easier to actually get things done if you have that external deadline.
External pressure helps a ton, which is why I haven't published a game.
Well,
because it's all internal. I'm like, it'll be fine.
Yeah. That's, But, like, you host, like, the Iron Designer Challenge, things like that. I think if you can find those around you.
Yeah, and even, you know, submitting to those contests online, either through, like, the Game Crafter or the Edison Awards.
Yep, Cardboard Edison. Games Button also Shy. Does their 18-card game
They're still
challenges.
I haven't seen those in a while.
Yeah, they kind of, they brought it back recently.
Okay, gotcha.
They kind of took a hiatus because Button Shy, who makes these wallet games, they, I think, just opened up a store.
They did. And, I saw that.
And which is a great idea for them.
Yeah.
Like, making... So selling all their wallet games plus, I think, some other small games. But it's also their office building, so they can just be, like, working on stuff, and someone comes to buy a game, sure.
That's the dream.
Yeah.
That's the dream. Awesome. Anything else that you want to add about? Anything, like, you want to shout out about? Or
Shout outs? Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess one thing, one kind of fun project that we've talked about, my music background and... game background, and I think the TurboDeck was kind of the culmination.
Yes.
When I talked about, like, I could print cards in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first experience trying to self-publish on a small scale. But I made a deck of cards that's for songwriters. So, like, you draw a card, and it's like a poker deck.
Mm-hmm.
But you... like draw the five of hearts, and it has a series of chords on it that you could use to write a song with. So play those chords on guitar or whatever, come up with some melodies or words, and then, like, there's some, like, music theory behind it, some game theory behind it, of like, okay, if you have a good poker hand, 5, 6, 7, 8 of hearts, and then use one as verse one, then the chorus, then the bridge.
Oh, interesting.
They kind of would flow together.
Oh, that's cool.
And each of the suits has a different mood to it. So, like, diamonds are the happiest. They're all major chords.
Okay.
Spades are the saddest. They're all minor chords. And then hearts are kind of wistful, emotional. Those have the... major seventh chords, minor seventh chords. And then clubs are kind of the, like, goofier and tense ones, I guess, that have dominant seventh chords.
Okay.
For the music nerds.
Yeah, and I know some of the things you just said.
Some of those things,
Yep, coming from a music family as well. I was a drummer, not to bring back to the last episode.
Oh, yeah.
But I have some music history, but I was a drummer, not, you know.
Yeah. Well, and it's cool. I like, also your audio background, too.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's diverse. But awesome.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add?
No, I think.
Great.
Did you have a takeaway from my life?
From
Trevor?
Your life?
No.
I think so. I think my takeaway would be to dive in. And so, like, with your internship with Fantasy Flight, you didn't have any experience... but you just still tried, and you got in, and you dove into the whole world, and you saw what was in there and how that opened up, which I think is a really good way to go about it, is kind of pursuing those opportunities. Even if you don't think you'd qualify, just do your best and dive in and see how it goes.
I was just talking to my friend who, she said, I asked her, how did you get into composing? And she's like, well, you know, I was a trumpeter, and I was doing a little bit of arrangements of music.
Sure.
But I made my business card, and I just, for some reason, put composer on there. And I was like, oh, that's so great. Just, like, put it on there.
Yeah.
And, I sort of did that with my business card, actually, too, with visual art because
okay,
I don't really do it that much, but I used to love drawing as a kid, and I've done a few projects, like my game Four Humors I did art directing for, because I just like kind of wanted to get back into it, and the Troubadec I did like medieval art for the cards,
which I still love. The one you did for my dog,
yes,
that's my favorite.
Trevor supported me on Kickstarter, and so that's one that it's like sometimes people are afraid to say I'm this, like I'm a game designer. Well, have you tried designing a game? You're a game designer. It doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about that.
There's no like, of course, like we want to make sure that, you know, we have high integrity and like everyone's doing like their best work. But like we don't have to like gatekeep the game design title. Like you don't have to like, oh, you know, you have to make at least $50,000 a year to call yourself a game designer from game design. Like, well, there's no imaginary ceiling or something like no.
And how many game designers are making $50,000 a year on
games? On game design?
Oh, gosh.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Not at least in the board game space. There's probably more video game designers that do make that than board game designers, I imagine. Mm-hmm. But maybe not. Oh, well, if we go into the mobile space, then we just ignore everything.
Slot machine designers, though.
There we go.
Oh, just kidding.
I did see some jobs out there for slot machine game designers or something similar.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So just keep your eyes out if you want to get into that line of work.
I used to do a composer podcast, Composer Quest, and I got to interview some slot machine composers.
Oh, interesting.
Which was fascinating because this was when I went on tour to interview people. They had a office inside the World Trade Center towers, man. The new one, World Trade Center one.
Yeah.
And the only reason they got in there as like having a music studio in that building is because they were casino slot machine composers and like they have the money for that. But it was just funny going up to the middle of that tower and like, here's a studio with a timpani and stuff. Like, okay.
Oh, they actually use instruments?
Yeah.
That surprises me.
So yeah. Just I don't know. Feel like saying some words of inspiration for people out there who are like thinking of game design always as a hobby or whatever, but you never know what might happen if you take a chance on stuff. And I remember back when I was working doing video for my early out of college career, and I was like, I'm not using my music degree at all. Like, what's going on here? And so I just realized, like, you know what? I've saved up enough where I could make it for a year if I didn't work at all.
Yeah.
And let's just quit. Just try the music thing for a while and see what happens. And I didn't end up, like, doing a ton of music. And instead, I started that podcast, Composer Quest. And I was working, like, 40 hours a week doing interviews and stuff. And,
wow.
But yeah, sometimes it's like you just got to take a chance on stuff. So
and try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that wraps us up, I think, for today.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to us interview each other. Next up, we'll be talking to Ananda, except it'll be more like a job interview because it'll be both Charlie and I interviewing Ananda.
Yeah.
And so that'll be pretty great. I'm looking forward to that.
Yep.
But yeah, thank you for listening.
Thank you all for letting us go on these tangents. I think this is pretty fun, like hearing both of our origin stories, and hopefully you got something out of it. We'll get back to the game talks later, but thank you all for listening. Do we want like a, it should probably be upbeat though, right?
Probably.
I'm thinking I might do like, so I do like maybe an electronic track rather than like guitar, but we could at least figure out some chords. This could be the acoustic version. Unplugged.
Top takeaways unplugged.
Tabletop takeaways. Going to tell you about the games.
Takeaways. Gonna show you how to play.
Except that's not what this podcast is.
Yeah, sorry.
But I like it.
It rhymes.
It does. It rhymes so well. Tabletop takeaways.
Well, we're the tabletop takeaway.
Game designers on our way
to take away
the tabletop
and put the games into our brains.
Don't you ever take my tabletop away.
A beautiful ballad.
Print it.
Ship it.
That's another podcast.
Oh, right, right.
Adam's Print It and Ship It. Do you like the melody, though? Or what? It's a little...
I was thinking something more like a jingle of some sort.
Bouncy?
I'm trying to think of... That's pretty nice.
Yeah. But that makes me feel like I want to, like...
Playing games for many days.
Tabletop.
Take away. Many days finding out lots of ways to make games. To make games.
Tabletop
takeaways.
Game designers
every day. What? Every week.
Oh, but I like the every game designing every day. Can we fit mechanics in there somehow?
The word mechanics?
What about
the word mechanics?
Oh. Push your luck?
Push your luck. Every day. Take a chance on the show today. Play your cards right and you might see there's a run. And waiting for you. What was the first lyric you hit?
That's the hard part.
Tabletop, take away. Making new games every day. Finding new ways to play. Tabletop.
Beautiful. I love it.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com, where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.